Well, we always commence our message, whether it's to the boys and girls or to the adults, we try and highlight a text or a verse of Scripture. And the verse that I want to base my message and remarks on this morning is found in not the Gospels, but in the book of Acts, and the verse, chapter 10, and the verse 43. Now, Peter, the apostle, he was speaking there in the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was an Italian soldier, and he was about to get saved. He knew about the Lord, but he didn't quite know the way of salvation. And Peter was preaching to him. And during Peter's sermon and his message, he uttered these words: "To him gave all the prophets witness." To him gave all the prophets witness. Now, in this verse, particularly to the children and the boys and girls, I want to emphasize the word "him." Who was Peter talking about whenever he said to him, "Give all the prophets witness"? You see, what he was really saying was this: all the prophets from the beginning of time, right up until this person came into the world, witnessed or testified or spoke of or proclaimed the message about this person. Who was that person? Well, it was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. To him, so your words in the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, the prophets, they witnessed, they testified, they spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. They spoke about his death. I remember when I was at Sunday school, one of the passages of Scripture that we had to memorize after Psalm 23, the next one was Isaiah chapter 53. And maybe some of the boys and girls and young people have learned that, or they are learning it at the minute. But what does that chapter tell us of? It says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes are we healed." That tells us of his death. And Isaiah told about his death. But not only did the prophets witness about his death, they also witnessed and testified about his ministry and about his life, but also about his birth. A few. Enoch, he's the first one that's mentioned as a prophet. I know Adam was a prophet in his own house and to his own family, but Enoch was the seventh from Adam, and the Bible tells us he prophesied. He was a prophet. We might also think of Moses. He was the great prophet, like unto the Lord, who was the prophet that was to come. And then Elijah, he was the great reformer. Isn't that right? But there's another three that I'm thinking about, because they particularly witnessed of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who were they? You had Micah, you had Hosea, and you have Isaiah. And these are the three that I want to focus on this morning. And boys and girls, particularly for the young people, the boys and the girls, but also the adults, let me emphasize, these three men, Isaiah, Micah, and Hosea, they lived approximately 700 years, 600 to 800 years, we'll go in between, around 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Isn't that amazing? That 600, 700, 800 years before Jesus was born, these men, they prophesied. They wrote down certain things about the birth of the Savior, and they became true. They actually happened. That's like somebody in 14 or 1321. That's a long time ago, isn't it? There's nobody here. I know the children think there's people in this church are really, really old. But there's nobody in this church even old enough to remember back to that time. If you went away back to 13, 14, 21, and someone wrote down how someone was going to be born in 2020 or 2015, my, that's almost, you'd say it's impossible. But boys and girls and parents and older folk here today, that's exactly what happened. These men, Isaiah, Hosea, and Micah, they wrote all those hundreds of years before what would happen when Jesus was born. And let's see what happened. So the first one, Isaiah, he spoke about the person who would come and about his purity, that he would be without sin. And where did he say that? Well, there's a verse in Isaiah 7, verse 14, and it reads like this. You can see it there on the wall. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. And so all those hundreds of years before it happened, Isaiah said that there would be a young woman, a young lady, and before she was married or came together with her husband, she would be found with child. And that child would be conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost. She would bear a son, and his name would be called Emmanuel. You know, in the Bible, boys and girls, names have meanings. Maybe when we're reading it in the English, we don't just take in the meaning because there it is, it's the name. But when the names were given in the Bible, they had a meaning in the original language. And do you know what the name Emmanuel means? Well, it's actually here in the pulpit. Emmanuel, and it means God with us. You see, Isaiah told the message that the one that Mary, the young woman who before she came together with her husband, the one that she would have, the son, he would not merely be an ordinary child. He would not even be a special child. But rather, he would be what we call the God-man. God coming in the flesh. And to the children and to each and every one of us, we should remember the great miracle that whenever Jesus Christ was born, he was God. The Bible says he was from everlasting. Boys and girls, he had no beginning. And he will have no end. He's from everlasting to everlasting. The Bible tells us that the one who is Jesus Christ, he was there in the beginning of time. He made all of the world and the planets and the solar systems. Without him was not anything made that was made. He is from the beginning. He is everlasting, no beginning and no end, because he is God. He existed with the Father before the world began. He was the second person of the Trinity. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And Jesus is the Son of God, who is everlasting and eternal. But in time, the Holy Ghost formed a little body in Mary's womb. And the eternal Son of God, he dwelt in that little body that grew in Mary's womb, was born of her. He was God with us, God becoming man. And that's why this time that we remember his birth is so special. And Isaiah told it. He foretold it all those years before. And boys and girls, if you read the New Testament, you will discover that Isaiah's prophecy was fulfilled in Matthew 1, verse 23. For an angel had appeared to Mary there in Galilee and told her that she would bear a child and that his name would be Emmanuel. Isn't that amazing? Isaiah told of the person who would come. He would be no ordinary child. He would not be born in sin like we are. He would be Emmanuel, God with us, born of a pure and chaste young woman. That's Isaiah's message. But then, we have something else that was foretold hundreds of years before it happened. The place where he would be born. And this is where Micah, remember those three prophets? There's Isaiah, there's Micah, and there's Hosea. And here's Micah. And you read it, boys and girls, in your Bible, in Micah 5 and 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah." Bethlehem was just a little place outside the city of Jerusalem. And you know, sometimes when God uses people and places, he uses the little things, the things that in the world's eyes are despised. And people would pass them by and say, "Well, that's not a very good place," or "That person doesn't have much going for them." And that's the type of person that the Lord will use. And it was the same with Bethlehem. It was little among the thousands of villages in Judah. Yet out of thee, out of Bethlehem, shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. That's the Messiah. That's the Christ. That out of Bethlehem, unto the Father, would come forth the one who will rule Israel. And you notice this last part of the verse. Whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. The one who would be born in Bethlehem, who would rule over Israel, who would come forth unto the Lord, he's an everlasting person. He'd no beginning and he'd no end. And Micah is saying the same thing that Isaiah said. It would be one who is God, who would come forth out of Bethlehem. And Micah said the place the Messiah will be born will be Bethlehem. Now, if you had have been living in the times of Mary and Joseph, maybe even if you'd have been Mary or Joseph yourself, you'd have wondered, well, how's that going to happen? Because Joseph, he was living up in Nazareth. And in the days of Mary and Joseph, there were no cars, there were no motorbikes, there were no bicycles, no oil, and many, many miles. And you think, well, how could that ever happen? But boys and girls and adults, I think it was Lewis read Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And the Lord, he is God, not over just the individual, but he's God over the nations and over the governments and over the rulers. And the Bible says the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand, and God put it in the heart of Caesar Augustus. He was going to tax the people. And so that everyone would be registered to be taxed, every man had to go to his own family town. And although Joseph was living away up in Nazareth, maybe 60 or so miles north of Bethlehem, well, Joseph's family, they were from Bethlehem. And it was very inconvenient for Joseph, but Joseph was going to have to go to Bethlehem and register there to be taxed and pay his taxes. And his wife Mary, who he'd taken to be his wife, she was on the verge of giving birth to her firstborn son, Jesus. And so the two of them made their way from Nazareth, heading south, making that long journey. And as they arrived in Bethlehem, that was the time that Mary gave birth to Jesus. And there was no room for them anywhere else because there were many visitors in Bethlehem there to register to be taxed. And because there was no room in the inn, they found the stable. And there Mary brought forth her firstborn son. And she laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. The Bible said, Micah said all those hundreds of years before, Bethlehem would be the place. And it didn't matter that Joseph and Mary were living in Nazareth. The Bible said Bethlehem. And God worked out the circumstances that brought them to Bethlehem. And there, Jesus was born. Now there's another one. And it's there in Hosea 11, verse 1. Isaiah spoke about the person who would be born. Micah spoke about the place he would be born, but Hosea spoke about how God would protect him when he was born. Now, you might read this verse. Let me read it to you. Hosea 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now, we might read that and think, well, Hosea is really speaking about when Israel was a nation and a young nation. God loved them, and even though the Egyptians were really bad to them and kept them as slaves and made them work for nothing, that God loved them and God delivered them and God called them out of Egypt in the days of Moses. And maybe we'd think, well, that's what Hosea is referring to, that God loved Israel as a nation, and when it was a young nation, he called his son, his people, out of Egypt to come and live in Canaan as free citizens and have their own nation. We might well think that. But when we come to the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 15, we read that this is a reference. Yes, it can be applied to the nation of Israel, but primarily it's speaking of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the angel warned Joseph in a dream when Jesus was born and dwelling in Bethlehem, the angel told him, there's a new king born and we want to worship him, for we have seen his star in the east and we are come to worship him. And Herod said, King, there's no king going to take my throne. And he told his soldiers and his army, you go and in Bethlehem, you slay all the children from 2 years and under and put them to death. And Jesus was in trouble. He was in danger. But God told Joseph in a dream to take the young child Jesus with Mary, his mother, and to go away down to Egypt. And there he would be safe. And so Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus, they made another journey down into Egypt. And there they resided and they lived. And Joseph worked to supply for his little family until the angel told him again, old Herod is dead. And let me just say a wee lesson there, and I'm nearly finished. But you know, those who always oppose God and the gospel and God's people, God deals with. And Herod died, and the danger was lifted. And in Matthew 2, verse 15, the Lord told Joseph to go back to Israel, and he went back to Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophet Hosea, I have called my son out of Egypt. Hosea said Jesus as a child would go into Egypt and he would come back out of Egypt to dwell in Israel. And it happened exactly as Hosea said. Now I have one lesson, and you've listened really, really well, but I've one lesson I want to finish with. And I don't want you to miss it. Because when we put all those three things together, Isaiah told about the person who would come and how pure he would be born, and Micah told of the place, and Hosea told how God in the life of Jesus. Here's the lesson we're finishing with. Boys and girls, do you see the Bible in your hand? The Bible you carry to church? It's God's Word. And we're told by Jesus, thy word, the word of the Father, is truth. This book is true, and everything contained within it is from God. And though the outward circumstances, you may think, well, that can't happen or that can't be, if God says it in the Bible, it will come to pass. It will be fulfilled. And here's the verse we're finishing with. In Matthew 5 and verse 18, Jesus said, one jot, let me explain again. The jot is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. One jot or one tittle. The tittle's a little, we would talk about a comma. Hebrew language, they talk about a breathing. The tittle's the comma or the breathing. One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Boys and girls, young people, parents, adults. If Isaiah said it 700-800 years before Jesus was born and it happened, God's word is true and will be fulfilled. If Micah said it all those years before Jesus was born, that he would be born in Bethlehem and it happened, God's word was fulfilled. If Hosea said it and it came to pass, you can be sure. This book is the living word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this book will not pass away. All of it shall be fulfilled. And I trust you'll remember that lesson even at this Christmas.